Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, Vera. But what a mix of different presentations we've got in this panel. I think it's really interesting. We've had all different starting off with country-level activities. And I'm going to give you some country examples, but the theme of my presentation is really kind of an overarching theme that's not specific to any particular country. And I want to talk about how important it is to have a strong system to be able to ensure availability or access and appropriate use of medicines in the context of integrated community case management, ICCM. Okay, I have to use the mouse. Okay, no disclosures. Moving on. So I'm going to talk to start with about what ICCM is. I heard when we had a little bit of time to hear who you all were, there's a very diverse background in the audience, and so I think it warrants taking a few minutes to look at what we mean by integrated community case management. Then I'm going to move on and look at what our definition is of system strengthening as it relates to medicines and commodities. And then I'm going to give you some examples of how we've implemented system strengthening, particularly focusing on medicines and commodities in the context of ICCM. Okay, so what is ICCM? It's a strategy that provides diagnosis and treatments for particularly cases of pneumonia, diarrhea, and malaria for children under 5 years old. There are many variants on this package, but this is kind of like the standard package. Some countries, depending on their context, depending on their priorities, have added or taken out different parts of that package. But that is it, and it's an integrated package. The idea is to train, support, and provide supplies or equip community health workers so that they can provide those tasks within the treatment and diagnosis that they need to provide to the population. It is pro-equity because it's intended to target areas that do not have access to health facilities, so case management at the facility level. And it is a strategy that has been recommended by UNICEF and WHO for a number of years. These are the documents that show that. So ICCM needs supplies for it to be successful. Clearly, the community health workers at the community level need to have medicines and commodities to provide that treatment and the diagnosis and the treatment. And so the focus when partners are supporting or when ministries start out implementing an ICCM strategy, the focus is on the supplies. And so looking at the logistics side of it, we have to procure them, we have to make sure that there's a resupply system, what forms do they fill in, how do we make sure that they have enough, and all of those kind of aspects. But what the danger is there is that we forget that those community health workers operate within a health system. And when I mean a system, I don't just mean what you can see on the right of the slide there, that there's a district health office and then there's the health center and the health community health workers underneath that. But there's a much more complex health system that that chain of supply fits into, involving different institutions, legal frameworks, and so on. And so it's very important not to forget that. This is a graphic that we have developed in our program, which, as we mentioned, is I think Alvira mentioned in the introduction, it's a USAID-funded program called SIAPS, Systems for Improved Access to Pharmaceuticals and Services, implemented by Management Sciences for Health, MSH. So this visual was developed under that program, and it aims to show the complex nature of the interactions of building blocks of health systems on medicines and commodities. So in the center of that, you have the circle of medical products, which is all your medicines and commodities required for providing healthcare. And you can see that the petals of the flower, if you like, are the building blocks of the health system. And so you've got components there related to governance, human resources, information, financing, and service delivery. And so those complex interactions between each of those components are essential for the health system to be performant and for health services to be provided in a way that you can ensure coverage and access to those interventions. So now I'm going to go on and share some examples of how we have worked within our program on different parts of that diagram that you just saw, to strengthen the system and to improve availability and use of medicines and commodities for ICCM. One of the components you'll remember was governance. and a very good example of interventions in the area of governance, so to have good, strong policy documents. One that's particularly related to medicines and commodities are essential medicines list and standard treatment guidelines. These documents in a country will orient a national procurement. So if a medicine is on the essential medicines list, it is likely to be procured through the national procurement system. If it's not, it won't. Now, that's not so much of a problem for ICCM if you have a pilot project or an NGO-implemented program. But if it's a national program, that's a big problem. If you haven't got your medicine on your essential medicines list, it's unlikely to be procured. The same for standard treatment guidelines. Those standard treatment guidelines orient how medicines are used within a health system, and that reaches down to the community level also. And so if the medicines that you want used at the community level are not included in the standard treatment guidelines, there's no framework for the use of those commodities. There's no framework for how health workers will be trained to use them and how they will be supervised, which is the ongoing maintenance of how medicines are used at the community level. So here I wanted to highlight an example that we have in DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, where we supported the Ministry of Health to include medicines that were critical for that community package in their essential medicines list. Here are the three examples: are amoxicillin dispersible tablets for the treatment of pneumonia, chlorhexidine for the care of the umbilical stump, and misoprostol tablets as a way of preventing postpartum hemorrhage. Now, these processes take a long time. Revising an essential medicines list isn't something you do in 2 weeks. It takes up to a year, also for revising standard treatment guidelines. So these aren't quick fix solutions, and this is why it's important to consider this as part of strengthening the system. And it's not just the act of revising the essential medicines list, it's the process, and making sure that the process is clearly understood and that the stakeholders in the process can replicate that process in a further revision and of the essential medicines list and of the standard treatment guidelines. And so inputs that are needed is obviously evidence as to why you should put a medicine on the list. WHO recommendations are kind of crucial in that regard. Mm-hmm. Funding is needed because you don't just do it sitting around a table. You need to have meetings, workshops, lots of discussion. So there's a degree of funding, and also to publish, develop and publish the document. And so SIOP's role in that was very much supporting from the funding perspective and providing the evidence, but also as a role in technical review and facilitating that process. Another example, again, in the area of governance is that of quantification. Those that are familiar with the term may say, well, if you calculate how much medicine you need to buy, how is that strengthening a system? It isn't, if that's all you're doing, calculating how much medicine you want to procure. But the focus here on our approach is really to systemize the whole process and strengthen the process, so that you establish what methodology you can use that can be repeated over and over again in the same way, so that there are procedures that are documented. You don't just come out with a calculation of we need 20,000 blisters of whatever. But what are the procedures to get to that answer? And how you strengthen the capacity of the local Ministry of Health Quantification Committee so that they can do it over and over again. And so this is another example from DRC. There will be other countries highlighted, but this is another one from DRC, where we supported the Ministry of Health Committee. There's a committee there that was formed to look at specifically commodities for reproductive, maternal, newborn, and child health in the light of the recent UN commission that was set up to focus on life-saving commodities for RMNCH, focusing on women and children. And so we equipped that committee with a quantification guide that had been developed under the auspices of the UN Commission for Life-Saving Commodities. And so that gave them procedures, processes to follow so that they could quantify appropriately the medicines in this category. And these medicines included medicines that were used at the community level for care to children under five. So we facilitated the use of that guide, helped develop all those procedures. And now the outcome of that was that there was a supply plan that was developed, so they know how much they need, for what period of time, at which time point they need to have orders placed or products received, but that process can be repeated and that supply plan can be revised on a constant basis, because it's not a one-off. It changes as new orders come in and as other partners provide contributions in terms of commodities and so on. Another example on quantification is an example I'd like to highlight from Guinea. And when we started working in Guinea, we found that there was a big problem of coordination between the Ministry of Health IMCI unit. IMCI is Integrated Management of Childhood Illnesses, and they are the partners that were supporting the implementation of community case management. And basically, the Ministry of Health didn't know who was buying what commodities. They didn't know what medicines were coming in for pneumonia, what medicines were coming in for diarrhea. And there was also a lack of funding at the Ministry of Health, so they couldn't take leadership because they didn't have funding to procure the commodities themselves. And so we worked with them to strengthen their capacity and establish a quantification committee so that they could work out what it was that they needed, and knowing what, getting the partners to provide information as to the orders that they were placing, they could work out where the gaps were. And then they were able to use that plan and that forecast to advocate for more resources from other donors. I'm not going to go into the details of this. Obviously, you're aware that Guinea has had a very difficult last year and a half or so with Ebola, and so obviously that has tested the resilience of this supply plan, and many changes have happened there, so that all has to be revisited. But the ministry is able to take that on because we've got those procedures in place. One of the other components of the visual that I showed you of system strengthening was information. And clearly, information is very important in decision making. You need to have information from the community level to be able to determine what quantities of medicines should be distributed to that level, and also to monitor the use practices at the community level. And so here's an example from Mali, but it could be from anywhere. I'm sure there are people in the audience that will identify with some of these problems that we noted in Mali in the beginning. There were stockouts at the community level. There was poor data collection from the community health workers. The data wasn't incorporated into their national information system. And so we worked with the Ministry of Health in Mali to strengthen the LMIS, the Logistics Management Information System, defining tools, roles and responsibilities, developing tools for the community health workers. The health centers now consolidate information, and they use that information to distribute medicines to the community health workers and to provide supervision to those community health workers. And you can see that the reporting rate has increased drastically since that LMIS was redesigned. One of the other components was financing, and this is particularly an issue for community case management. Mobilizing resources is very important because it's kind of an added-on piece that the ministries haven't necessarily taken into consideration from early days of their budget planning. And so an example here from Burundi, where we worked with the Ministry of Health to look at a costing exercise for community case management so that they had an idea of what it would cost to expand their current model, which at the time we did this costing exercise was just for malaria, and they wanted to integrate pneumonia and diarrhea into that package. How much was it going to cost if they wanted to expand that nationwide and if they wanted to integrate those other conditions? And so with stakeholders in the ministry, we looked at different scenarios, different hypotheses, and developed a number of different scenarios so that they could look at what that cost would be over a period of time. It's maybe not too clear to see, but I think the details aren't so important. The main reason to present this is to show you that it's not just about looking at financing for the commodities alone. We need to look at all the other pieces of the strategy of ICCM. And the picture on the side, the graph on the side with the different colors, shows all the different components. The green at the bottom is medicines and supplies, but then there's management, supervision, meetings, trainings, other recurrent costs that make up the rest of that bar. And so the Ministry of Health in Burundi was able to use this data that came out of these costing exercises to advocate for more funding for ICCM and start scaling that up. And one of the sources they used for funding was the Global Fund. And one of the new developments in the field of community case management is that the Global Fund has now accepted that ICCM can be included in Global Fund grants for other disease areas. Typically, Global Fund funded malaria, HIV, and TB programs activities. But now they realize the importance of the integrated care that's provided at community level. And so program costs for ICCM can be included in Global Fund grants, not the commodities. Now that's challenging because it means that you may have malaria commodities funded by Global Fund and then UNICEF or any other NGO that would be providing the pneumonia and diarrhea commodities. And so here we really need to focus on strengthening coordination between the donors to make sure that you've got all your package of commodities at the same time, You can't start a training program on integrated management of diarrhea, pneumonia, and malaria if you only have malaria tests and malaria commodities, but you don't have the pneumonia pieces. And so it's very important to focus on this. And we have worked with a group of partners to develop guidance documents, the picture there, to help countries that are going through this in including all those other components. The last component is service delivery, and I want to stress the importance of appropriate case management through strategies such as training, supervision, and continuous feedback, as well as the use of job aids to promote rational use of medicines and adherence to treatment protocols, which in the end will help us to contain antimicrobial resistance. Malaria and pneumonia are both using antimicrobials, and we do need to make sure that the effectiveness of these commodities is preserved. And so here we have some examples from Burundi of some job aids that we use to support diagnosis, case management itself, treatment, as well as dispensing counselling that the community health workers were to provide. And some charts here at the end to show that actually the community health workers with that support did a pretty good job on their tasks in case management, giving the right dose, explaining how to take the medicines, and other aspects. So to sum up, because Elvira has just asked me to finish, it is very important when you're talking about community case management to think about the commodities and the procurement and supply of those commodities, but not on its own. There are other things that we need to consider. And so my real take-home message is that in order to ensure that we have products available, that medicines are used rationally, and that we contain antimicrobial resistance at the community level, we have to think more than just logistics. We have to think about the whole system. And these are the points that are important components of the system. And if we do that, the result will be that we will have preserved effectiveness of the medicines that are used for ICCM for the common good, for the treatment of the children under five that we're wanting to treat, but not just now, but for future generations as well, so that we've got medicines that are effective with no resistance. Thank you.
Thank you.